This is Packers Now.
Tom Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone. Yes! Touchdown! Devontae Adams!
Place for all your Packers news.
Lofts it over the left side into the end zone. Intercepted! Adrian Amos!
Get the latest updates on the green and gold.
Snap to Aaron Rodgers. Sets, fires, right side, got Jordan Cutty left at the 30. Touchdown!
It's always Packers season at Packers Now. Right here, right now.
He's good, and the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
I'm your host, Ben Kirkowski, and the Packers went out and made huge moves in the very first hours of free agency today. Moves that show the Packers are all in on not only the future by focusing on younger players, but guys at the top of their position groups by signing 26-year-old running back Josh Jacobs and 24-year-old Xavier McKinney, safety Xavier McKinney. The Packers were able to make these two big splash moves like this at guys at the top of the market because they moved on from a lot of the old guard that were on this Packers team. The Packers' now oldest player is Preston Smith at age 32, and he's the only player on this entire roster above the age of 30, which is absolutely insane after the release of both David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones. But before we get into that, let's look at our new players on the Packers team, starting with running back Josh Jacobs. Jacobs, being a running back, to me, it doesn't seem wise to ever really sign a running back anytime after their rookie contract. Every year, there are very talented running backs in the draft, and you don't have to go pay top dollar for these guys. So right away, this move really hit me the wrong way. There are 21 running backs just in the last 2 years who were drafted that played better than Josh Jacobs played last season. That's how many rookie and first and second year running backs there are who are making a significant difference in the NFL. Josh Jacobs played last season. He had a down year with just a 65.0 PFF grade. That's not good. That was like 51st in the NFL. And we just paid him to be one of the best running backs in the NFL based on how much we're paying him per year. Yes, the year before, Josh Jacobs was the best running back in the NFL. Yes, if you're a fantasy owner, Josh Jacobs, great running back. But still, to me, if you are that good of a running back, you should be able to maintain that level for a few years in a row, not just a one-year wonder. And it's concerning that that wasn't the case, okay? That offensive line did not change that much from year one to year two for the Raiders, and it just really bothers me, and it really scares me that he had such a down year when he really wasn't dealing with major injuries whatsoever. To me, the pinnacle of running back success is Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey makes $14 million a year, but he's elite as a runner. He's elite as a pass catcher, and he even can pass block. Okay, year in, year out, he is so consistent. I'd pay for that. I don't want to pay for Josh Jacobs, whose play seems to be going the wrong direction. He is not consistent. Jacobs has struggled as a pass blocker. He struggled as a receiver as well. Jacobs, to me, just isn't worth it. At least Aaron Jones most recently looked special to end the season. And so that's why I just don't know why this is the direction we're going. I understand that Josh Jacobs is younger. A couple years ago, he was one of the best running backs in the NFL. But for the last 2 decades, we've seen guys have years where they're the best running back in the NFL and then totally fall off the map. I think I would rather have a one-year Derrick Henry contract at $5.5 million than this Josh Jacobs contract that are stuck on our books for the long term. This move overall just does not make a lot of sense to me. When you can sign a guy like Derrick Henry and just draft a bunch of rookie running backs and hopefully you find one that can thrive in your system, and maybe giving them a year to catch up to the requirements of being an NFL running back, you still get that by signing a guy like Derrick Henry to a contract or just keeping Aaron Jones on the Packers. To me, this was not worth the money. The only reason why I could see this deal making a little sense is the age. Jacobs is just 26 years old. He's never had a major injury, and the Packers don't have to force themselves to draft a running back on day one or day two of the draft. Those are some of your most valuable picks in the top 100, top 75 types of picks. Those are where you got to hit. And if you're using those picks on running backs, that could be a mistake. I understand that logic. And now Brian Gutekunst doesn't feel like he has to draft one on day one or day two. we saw a couple years ago. The Packers thought they had to have another running back, and so they ended up drafting A.J. Dillon. And we all know how that technically went. He had his moments in December, but other than that, he wasn't really that helpful for this Packers team. The issue, though, is the same could be said of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is also a veteran running back that we could have signed. But Henry is a cheaper, yet older option, but Henry also had a better year last year. The nice part about a veteran is it's hard. So the nice part about having Josh Jacobs, having a veteran running back on your roster, it's hard to rely on rookies to thrive and hold up understanding every part of an offense with so many different responsibilities as a running back, as a runner, as a receiver, as a pass blocker. So having at least one veteran, I think, is essential. But that didn't mean it had to be Josh Jacobs on a four-year deal. I think the most... The whole thing is difficult for me. I think the Christian McCaffrey part, he's a game-changing running back making $14 million a year. And now you're paying Josh Jacobs $12 million a year. And what he adds to our offense is nothing like the value that Christian McCaffrey adds, in my opinion. And so that's why I just don't see how this ever, almost ever, Josh Jacobs could play to a point where he adds so much value to our offense where we're happy that we paid that money. So what I don't want now is the Packers to spend a draft pick, a third round, a second rounder, or higher on a running back. I would have been very fine with the Packers spending a third round pick and another draft pick on some running backs, then adding some undrafted free agents as well to pair up with Aaron Jones. Heck, or even replacing Aaron Jones with Derrick Henry. Like I said, I don't care. But to me, overall, this was not the right move. And so I just really do not want to go in the draft now and see a third round pick used on a running back when you just spent $12 million on Josh Jacobs. So overall, just a really bad start to the day for me, in my opinion. Now, the second major move the Packers made, exact opposite side of the coin. Okay, this is an awesome move for many reasons. The signing of Xavier McKinney. He's formerly of the New York Giants, was drafted in the early second round just 4 years ago, pick 36 to be exactly. And so that is a big deal to me because he wasn't a first-round pick. And that's important because then he didn't have the fifth-year deal. So this is his first time seeing free agency. And because of that, he is super early, okay, or super young. He came out of into the draft early. He's just 24 and a half years old, currently entering the prime of his career. Consistently throughout his career, McKinney has been the starter for the Giants when he wasn't hurt. This last season, he played every single snap this season on defense for the Giants, 100% of snaps. During his rookie contract, he was one of the best tacklers in the NFL with grades above 80 every single season. Then in the final year of his contract in 2023, he added on top of that an elite 91.2 coverage grade, making him one of the best safeties in the NFL. And at just 24 years old, there's a real belief over the course of 4 years, he should be able to really hit his stride as he enters into his physical prime. And the great part about Xavier McKinney as well, which will really help him fit well in our defense, is his versatility. He played 480 snaps at free safety, 340 in the box, and around 200 in the slot last season alone. This type of versatility will help out our defense be able to disguise well, not giving away how we will use any one of our defensive backs on any given down. The deal is expensive, $17 million a year. That makes him the fourth highest paid safety in the NFL. But at his age, the Packers might have been able to find a top-tier talent at a huge position of need, filling a big hole in this team. And at least the player they bought at a high cost was actually good last season, unlike Josh Jacobs. And we know that the safety market in the draft was weak. We had to get one in free agency, and the Packers went out and got the best one available. The reason why these moves overall could make a lot of sense are from an age perspective. We found two guys who, by the league standards, are some of the top players at their position, and two guys who should be entering the primes of their career. Josh Jacobs is 26 years old. Xavier McKinney is just 24 years old. These guys are on four-year contracts, and these contracts are designed to run through the prime of each of these guys' career, most likely leading to the Packers either cutting them before year four of their contract when it's not guaranteed anymore, or just letting their contracts expire in McKinney's perspective because he'll only be 28 years old at that time. This, to me, is a great move by Gutekunst, getting these guys for the duration of their prime, but no longer. This is why signing 30-plus-year-olds to long contracts is a market that can be wise to avoid. I just didn't know we had this type of cap space available. But moving on from guys like David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones is a very sad thing for sure. They have been stalwarts for the Packers, and some of our favorite memories will be with them in it. Both of these guys, when healthy, are still capable of playing at a very high level. But their age, their injury history, can they actually be healthy, is the big reason that brought us concerns. And Brian Gutekunst didn't want to take that chance of moving forward with that chance and keep betting on these guys being available for a majority of the season, especially when it matters at the end. Financially, with the cutting of Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, Devondre Campbell, and then restructuring, taking a small pay cut from Preston Smith, the four big oldest guys on the team, and making, after all that, making two big moves in free agency does actually make sense financially. The Packers had $49 million after cutting those three players. We are going to spend around $8 million on our draft picks, $12 million for Josh Jacobs, $17 million for McKinney per year, obviously. But the Packers aren't going to fully front load those two contracts, though. They generally push out the cap hits in the first couple of years. So I'd imagine it's going to be more like $8 million the first year, $13 million for our top two guys on the cap this year, and then another $10 million towards the Jordan Love contract, which will come out early June, I'm imagining. That'll put the Packers still with $10 million to play with, and they still then can even fill a couple more gaps on this roster. Thankfully, there haven't been a ton of contracts yet that really made me jealous that a team landed that player outside of contracts done within a team's own building. So those players didn't see the free agents, Darnell Savage got $7 million a year on the market, which maybe that might have been worth it, but I understand moving on as well. JRJ got $10 million a year, which to me is totally not worth it, knowing how good the Packers are at finding interior offensive linemen on day three of the draft. There's still a lot of talent out there, though, and the Packers would be wise to go out and continue to look for the best deals moving forward. Guys left on the market, guys who I mentioned over the last few podcasts, especially on the interior offensive line and at offensive tackle, to make up for the loss of Bakhtiari and JRJ, then at cornerback and safety to possibly fill our slot cornerback position and other starting safety spot, and at linebacker for Devondre Campbell. To me, with all these other needs the Packers are still kind of needing to fill, this is another big reason why I'm not a huge fan of the Josh Jacobs deal. The Packers decided to hand out to a guy who didn't play at a high level in 2023. Only time will tell for sure about that deal, but I think it was wise for the Packers to go out and get an elite player like safety Xavier McKinney, who's on the upward trend, okay, going into the prime of his career and ultimately making this entire team younger by moving on from the older veterans on this team to rid of those large contracts and get rid of guys who are losing their athleticism, dealing with those possible long-term injuries, and instead moving towards relying on youth, relying on availability, and relying on an upward trend of potential. And that's why I do like these signings in those ways. But still, I definitely would not have done the Josh Jacobs deal. I would have loved to use that money elsewhere. It'll be interesting to see how free agency continues to work its way out. But there's still a lot of spots to be filled, and all those spots cannot be filled in the draft if the Packers go into the draft needing all those things to be filled and are unwilling to sign guys after the draft as well. I think the Packers will be very disappointed in themselves as how the season progresses next year, because you cannot expect every year for your draft picks to hit at such a high rate. Thankfully, that's why we have so many of them, so that if we hit 40% of them, that's still four to five players. That's good. Not every team can hit that high. But the fact is, you're not always going to get that high of a success. Look back at the Josh Myers, the A.J. Dillon, the Josiah DeGuara drafts. Like, those are rough. Those are rough drafts for the Packers. And I love the draft more than anybody. I think there's a lot of data that says how you can have the most success in the NFL draft, but you cannot rely on it entirely. And the Packers now are going to have a limited resources moving forward to fill a lot of the empty spots that are still on our roster that really do need to be upgraded moving forward. But we'll continue to track free agency. We'll continue to give our insights on the NFL draft. But this is honestly one of the most exciting times of the year, is how the Packers are going to build their team. And they started doing that today for sure. So that's all we have today, folks. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, give me a review so I can hear what you guys think about the podcast, and tell your friends about Packers Now so that they can get all the latest updates on the Green and Gold, because it's always Packers season at Packers Now. Thanks, guys.